भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी राज प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्राज प्रचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती को स्वामी राज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपीनाथ श्याम राधा नीरी गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। प्रदीप धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी की जय। गंगमयी की जय। जमनमयी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। समवेत भक्तवृंद की जय। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Go praying that day. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam. Third canto, fourth chapter, text number 34. 35, sorry. Atmanam,
Atmanam
cha Kuru Shreshtha
Krishnena
Manasekshitam Dhyayam Gate Bhagavate Yugoda
Prema
Vipphalaha Atmanam cha Kuru Shreshtha Krishnena Manasekshitam Dhyayan Gate
Bhagavate
Yugoda Prema Vipphalaha Atmanam cha Kuru Shreshtha Krishnena Manasekshitam Dhyayam Gate
Bhagavate
Yugoda Prema Vipphalaha
Guru Shreshtha,
best amongst the Gurus. Krishnena,
Krishnena,
by Krishna,
by Krishna.
Manasa,
Manasa,
by the mind,
mind.
Ikshitam,
Ikshitam,
remembered,
remembered.
Dhyayam,
Dhyayam,
thus thinking of,
Gate,
having gone,
Bhagavate,
of the devotee.
Yuroda,
Yuroda,
cried
loudly.
Prema
Vidvalaha,
Prema Vidvalaha,
overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love. Understanding that he was remembered by Lord Krishna while quitting this world, Vidura began to cry loudly, overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love. Purport. Vidura was overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love when he understood that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thought of him at the last moment. Although he thought of himself as insignificant, he was remembered by the Lord by his causeless mercy. Vidura accepted this as a great favor, and thus he cried. This crying is the last word in the progressive path of devotional service. One who can cry for the Lord in love is certainly successful in the line of devotional service. Om Agyanatimirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmiditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Swam Sativam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashadpanu Sute Devi Pradamami Hori Priye Vancha Kolpitarubhyascha Kripasinto Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashari Gopaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let's do a cell phone check. Cell phones silent, please. Atmanam cha kuru shreshta Krishnena manasekshita Jayan kate bhagavate rudo da prema vipala. This became a cause of ecstatic love for Krishna. Vidura was overwhelmed by knowing that Krishna had remembered him at the time of leaving this world, thinking about the causeless mercy of Krishna. Vidura cried in love for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada comments that this crying for Krishna is the last word in the progressive path of devotional service. Elsewhere, Prabhupada says this small technique of learning to cry for Krishna makes one successful. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada explains this symptom of crying for Krishna and how this symptom develops in greater detail. That's why this machine is here. We find this in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Once it opens up. This is second canto, third chapter, text 24. Tadashmasharam pridiyam batedam yagriyamanayar parinam bateyai na vikriye tata yadavikalo netre jalam gatra ruheshu harsha. Certainly that heart is steel-framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes, and the hairs stand on end. Srila Prabhupada, I won't read the whole purport, but I'll read part of it. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment, by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, namely the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands, and the legs, as already explained here and before, is now stressed in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all the activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulative devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there's no such change, the heart must be considered steel-framed, for it is not melted even when there is chanting the holy name of the Lord. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties, and if they are properly performed, there will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of the hairs on the body. These are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, love of Godhead. The symptoms take place as a genuine manifestation of one's devotional relationship with Krishna. In the conditioned state, we've forgotten our relationship with Krishna. My relationship is with my body, my relationship is with my family, I am this body, and my relationship is with my family, with my friends, with my mistress, with my countrymen, with other human beings. With my things, my property, my bank account, my car, gadgets, bank balance. I'm thinking in terms of all of these temporary things, imagining that I have a substantial relationship with them, and imagining that I can enjoy by acting in that relationship. In an exploitive way, actually. And I've forgotten my relationship with Krishna. I've forgotten that I'm actually Krishna's servant.
and that my business is not to try to enjoy the resources of material energy, but to render service to the Lord. To get free from that false consciousness and revive my eternal relationship with Krishna, my sense of servitude to Krishna, there's a process of regulative devotional service or devotional service and practice under the guidance of a pure devotee and in the association of devotees. One learns the methods of engaging all the senses in the service of the senses of Krishna, especially by hearing about Krishna, by chanting about Krishna, and by rendering service to the deity. There are so many different methods for engaging ourselves in the service of the Lord, and if we properly follow those methods, we'll gradually become purified. Tanava jastamo bhava kamalo padias chaye chaite tairna vidhams stitam satve prasidati evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. By practicing devotional service under proper guidance, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and following the principles of Krishna consciousness, gradually the unwanted things within the heart, kama lopadeyas chaye, lust, greed, anger, and so on, will be diminished. The modes of passion and ignorance will be diminished practically to nil. One will come to the mode of goodness and become situated in Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad-tattva vijnana, understanding of one's relationship with Krishna and acting in that relationship. In this way, one becomes advanced. The thirst for material enjoyment goes down and the eagerness for devotional service goes up. They don't go up together. One goes up. They don't work. It's not that one stays the same and the other goes up. The eagerness for Krishna goes up, then the eagerness for sense enjoyment goes down. So that's the system, the line of progress. If the reaction does not take place, if these transformations, tears in the eyes and so on, don't take place, even after continuous hearing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord, it may be considered to be due to offenses only. That is the opinion of the Sandarbha. In the beginning of chanting of the holy name of the Lord, if the devotee has not been very careful about evading the 10 kinds of offenses at the feet of the holy name, certainly the reaction of feelings of separation will not be visible by tears in the eyes and standing of the hair on end. If we want to get the results of chanting, we have to avoid 10 offenses in chanting. And then, very quickly, the heart will become purified and these genuine symptoms will manifest of their own accord. And if they don't manifest, then we should understand that it must be due to offenses. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada emphasized offenseless chanting. Try to avoid the 10 offenses. In the chanting of the holy name, there are 10 offenses to blaspheme the devotees who dedicated their lives to the service of the glories of the Lord, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master, to think that the glories of the holy name are imagination, to concoct something on the basis of some concocted explanation of the holy name of the Lord, to minimize the importance of Vedic literature, or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version to perform sinful activities and justify them on the basis of chanting the holy name of the Lord, to think that the glories of the holy name are on the same level as the, or that the chanting of the holy name is on the same level as mundane pious activities, then what else? There are three more. To preach the chanting of the holy name, the glories of the Lord to the faithless persons, to maintain material attachment in spite of chanting the holy name.
To regard
the glories of the holy name as imagination, we covered. What are we missing? To be inattentive while chanting. To think that the names of the demigods are on the same level as the names of the holy names of Lord Vishnu.
Disobey
the order of the spiritual master. I didn't mention that?
Yes.
I did. Okay. But yes, good. Worth mentioning twice. To disobey the orders of the bona fide spiritual master. Yes?
What about that one about Lord Shiva's name, not in the Bhagavatamrita, it says Lord Shiva's name.
Yeah, then you can say that. We just wanted to get the 10 there. So these 10 offenses are to be avoided if we commit these 10 kinds of offenses while chanting the holy name. Then the progress will be there. There will be some mechanically go on and chanting, but we won't get the results. Or if we don't chant the prescribed number of rounds, that's already Guru Avagya. Now, I don't chant so many rounds, but I try to chant them with quality. Yeah, this is one of the, this is quality. Prabhupada one time explained, he was asked, what is quality in chanting? There's quantity and there's quality. Prabhupada said quality means avoiding the 10 offenses. Well, this is one of the 10 offenses, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master, to disregard those orders. And one of the orders is to chant 16 rounds a day. And of course, to follow the four regulative principles. So if we don't do these things, we can make a show of progress, but the real thing will not manifest itself. The bhava stage, the stage of ecstasy, is manifested by 8 transcendental symptoms, namely inertness, perspiration, standing of hairs on end, failing in the voice, trembling, paleness of the body, tears in the eyes, and finally, trance. Nectar of Devotion, Bhaktivasagrata Sindhu, explains those symptoms and vividly describes other transcendental developments, both in steady and accelerating manifestations. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has very critically discussed all these bhava displays in connection with some unscrupulous neophytes imitating the above symptoms for cheap appreciation. Not only Vishwanath Chakravarti, but also Srila Rupa Goswami treated them very critically. Sometimes all the above 8 symptoms of ecstasy are imitated by the mundane devotees, Prakriti Sahajyas. But the pseudo-symptoms are at once detected when one sees the pseudo-devotee addicted to so many forbidden things. Even though decorated with the signs of the devotee, a person addicted to smoking, drinking, or illegitimate sex with women cannot have all the above-mentioned ecstatic symptoms. But it is seen that sometimes these symptoms are willfully imitated, and for this reason, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti accuses the imitators of being stone-hearted men. They are sometimes even affected by the reflection of such transcendental symptoms. Yet if they still do not give up the forbidden habits, then they are hopeless cases for transcendental realization. Even persons who may not have given up these materialistic activities may show some sign of ecstasy in the association of devotees. We see that. We invite everyone to come and chant Hare Krishna. And sometimes people whose lives are quite materialistic become affected. And sometimes they dance in ecstasy. They even cry. So that may be a favorable sign for them. But their life has to change. They can't go on smoking, drinking, woman hunting, and chanting Hare Krishna. And reach that highest level, they have to go on chanting Hare Krishna and give up those materialistic things. Then these genuine symptoms can be appreciated. And those who are just trying to make a show, they're stone-hearted and they're cheaters. Prabhupada mentions, when Lord Chaitanya met Sri Ramananda Roy of Kavur on the bank of the Godavari, the Lord developed all these symptoms, but because of the presence of some non-devotee brahmanas who were attendants of the Rai, the Lord suppressed these symptoms. So sometimes they are not visible, even in the body of the first-class devotee, for certain circumstantial reasons. Therefore, real steady pava is definitely displayed in the matter of cessation of material desires, kshanti, utilization of every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, avyartha, kalatvam, eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly, namagana, sadaruchi, attraction for living in the land of the Lord, pritistha, vasatistha, complete detachment from material happiness, virakti, and pridelessness, manashunyata. One who has developed all these transcendental qualities is really possessed of the bhava stage, as distinguished from the stone-hearted imitator or mundane devotee. So Rupa Goswami here gives the inside story of how to detect a real devotee or a genuinely advanced devotee. It's not just by these external symptoms of crying or rolling on the ground and so on. That can be imitated. It's harder to give up, to imitate utilization of every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. You can't fake that. Freedom from material desires. Okay, you can have some material desires and maybe conceal them, but you certainly, if you've got something going on out there, it all comes out in the wash. Shakespeare said, truth will out. So Rupa Goswami said, see these symptoms especially, eagerness for glorifying the Lord, attraction for living in the Lord's abode, pridelessness, using every minute in Krishna's service, becoming free from material desires, detachment from material happiness. What was that?
Anupava virakti anyatras. What is the beginning? Bhakti Parasyana Bhavaviraktirs Anyatra.
The symptom of advancement in devotional service is especially how one becomes detached from the material energy. We have to see that. The whole process can be summarized as follows. The advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone can actually relish the transcendental taste of glorifying the Lord. And the result of such realization is reflected in the cessation of all material desires, and so on, as mentioned above. The neophytes, due to their being in the lower stage of devotional service, are invariably envious, so much so that they invent their own ways and means of devotional regulations without following the acharyas. As such, even if they make a show of constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, they cannot relish the transcendental taste of the holy name. Therefore, the show of tears in the eyes, trembling, perspiration, or unconsciousness, and so on, is condemned. They can, however, get in touch with a pure devotee of the Lord and rectify their bad habits. Otherwise, they shall continue to be stone-hearted and unfit for any treatment. A complete progressive march on the return path home, back to Godhead, will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. Any questions? Not equal, that it shouldn't be regarded as separate. It's sometimes expressed to see the demigods as equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. So Lord Shiva's name is not independent of Lord Vishnu's name, it's connected. So one shouldn't think that chanting of Shiva Shiva is on the same name as level as Krishna Krishna. But one should also shouldn't think of Lord Shiva as being disconnected from Krishna. In that context of Lord Shiva's greatness as a devotee of the Lord, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami presents that statement. We shouldn't see Lord Shiva's name as separate from Lord Vishnu's name. Then Lord Vishnu, everything's dependent on Lord Vishnu, and everything is ultimately connected with Lord Vishnu. And certainly a great devotee like Lord Shiva is connected.
If a devotee in the course of practicing Krishna consciousness becomes enlivened and maybe not tears are coming, but can at least experience the effects.
Yeah.
But so there is, in other words, the devotee got pratyaksha, gets a proof that actually it works, and then still it's not giving up certain attachment, so there's not that change in the heart. Does that mean that the devotee is kind of
in the
category of sahaja? Or
no, the sahaja are the gross imitators, those who pretend to be something they're not. Otherwise, those who are sometimes experiencing enlivenment, sometimes just experiencing material thirst, are the neophyte devotees. To be a neophyte is fine. Just to be a neophyte and pretend to be a paramahansa is not very good. That's the problem. There are those who are neophytes or practically not even neophytes, but are pretending to be very advanced. So that's condemned. Otherwise, to be a neophyte is all right. Just one shouldn't stay a neophyte, one should advance. But to be a genuine, sincere neophyte and take up the practice, that's the beginning. Then if one sticks to the practice, sticks to the process, he'll make progress.
My question is about the spiritual happiness.
About?
The spiritual happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to understand if it is like a shift in consciousness that takes away the material happiness, the enjoyment of sense gratification.
Is spiritual happiness a shift in consciousness that takes away material happiness and the happiness of sense gratification?
Yeah, of enjoyment. Like some things get away, you know, the material happiness.
Yeah, spiritual happiness drives away material happiness. That is not to say that one becomes materially miserable if one becomes spiritually happy. But he's no longer interested in the so-called happiness. samsparsha jalapoga, the happiness that comes from sense gratification. He sees that as troublesome. Dukkha yone evite. He's ramante yogino namte satyananda jivayana. He's enjoying happiness within. He's enjoying happiness from Krishna, his relationship with Krishna. So the happiness of contact with matter is no longer attractive to him. He's attracted to a higher happiness. Raso varjana sokyasya paramdrishtva. So spiritual happiness, not that it takes away material happiness, it just makes material happiness look bad. It's not that your material happiness is spiritual happiness. Yeah, spiritual happiness drives it out just by making it look sick. Just like if you have, you know, kachoris and rasgullas and sweet rice and so on, then a stale 3-month-old biscuit is not going to look very attractive. Yes?
My question was that even though one experiences spiritual happiness,
could you speak up a little bit, please?
If one experiences the spiritual happiness, one is not expecting it all the time, you know, like it is too much for oneself. So one is not craving that from Krishna. It comes spontaneously, like something that we are not expecting. It just comes, you know, spontaneously. And then one, it becomes more like permanent or something like that. But still, there is like something missing. Like I don't know what to do daily. You know, I'm losing all control about my life and not.
Spiritual happiness is not just some. What's the word? Tremendous experience, some there's this overwhelming experience in that spiritual happiness. Spiritual happiness is normal. The normal constitutional position of the living being is to be happy. Why? Because he's engaged in Krishna service. So the devotee in Krishna's service is not that because he's sweeping the temple room or distributing a book or cooking for the deities that now he has to experience the kind of happiness that makes him fall apart. You know, he can't finish sweeping because he can't see through his tears and his hair start to stand on end. So he winds up rolling on the floor and can never get the temple room cleaned. It's not like that. That's spiritual happiness, and anything less than that is of no consequence. But spiritual happiness is the normal condition. While chanting Hare Krishna, while sweeping the temple room floor, while cooking for the deities, while distributing a book, while speaking about Krishna, while we're hearing about Krishna, while doing the accounts for Krishna, while doing anything for Krishna's service, the devotee feels happy. He feels naturally happy because he's engaged in Krishna's service. So that's real happiness. The materialistic person feels, you know, either a sense of well-being or a sense of overwhelming joy because of contact with the senses with the sense of. So his happiness is based on an illusion, or it's based on precarious, temporary circumstances. So today he feels really good because the sun is shining and he just got his paycheck. And tomorrow he feels really bad because his girlfriend left him and something else happened. So it's up and down, up and down. And even when it's up, it's based on illusion. But the devotional happiness, spiritual happiness, is based on fact. As soon as I understand that I'm not this body, then prasannatma, one becomes joyful. Brahma-bhuta prasannatma. Ashojati and Kashkati. He has nothing to lament for, nothing to hanker for. Samasarveshu Bhuteshu, he sees everything materially to be in the same way. Madhpak, this, and this is the like preliminary stage of devotional service. This was the stage just of self-realization. Madhpak tim lavate para. And the postgrad, the graduate stage, is to be engaged in devotional service. So the self-realized person is naturally happy. Prabhupada said this is the first symptom of the self-realized soul, is that he's jolly. He's not morose. You see these people, you know, walking down the street, or just the ordinary person is like, they're morose. But the Krishna conscious person is constitutionally joyful because he's on the platform of spirit, and spirit is by nature joyful. And what is the activity of spirit? To be engaged in Krishna service. So when the self-realized person, or the person who knows he's not this body, is engaged in Krishna service, then he becomes more and more joyful. So it permeates one's, all of one's activities. It's not that unless one is experiencing these intense, overwhelming symptoms, one isn't happy. Does that answer the question?
Yes, thank you so much.
In the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains that one problem that unless one is, I don't know, it doesn't use that word, but materially exhausted, unless you see the evil in birth at all, right? So you can't be serious.
Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha.
Then you cannot.
Yeah, if you're really upbeat about enjoying the material world, it's going to be very hard to make spiritual progress.
Mm-hmm. So the question is this understanding, this kind of material exhaustion, is this the same as this feeling of being fallen, that is
being
expressed,
what?
Being fallen.
Fallen,
that is expressed by Rupa Goswami, Samana Goswami, and
well, there are different nuances of feeling, but they go together to feel that this material world is hopeless, that it's just a lost cause. It goes along with feeling that I've been trying to enjoy this material world, so what does that make me? Right? If I realize that this is a garbage pit and I realize that I've been digging in it looking for happiness, well, what am I going to think of myself? So the two go together. A little loud, if you would.
Honored speaker, in the line of Sri Jagadeva Swami, his likes how should a family and material affection for a family with historic qualities be treated? Should it be distantiated or is it acceptable to try and
we try to enlighten our families? Yeah, we can try to. A devotee naturally feels sympathy for all living beings. Atmavat sarvabhuteshu. He feels natural sympathy for others, so he wants others to be Krishna conscious too. He's got something nice now, and he wishes that the others would also catch on, that they would also get the benefit of this knowledge or this experience. And so it's natural that, well, first we think of those who are close to us, our friends, our family members. That's very natural. And sometimes it so happens that our family members or friends also pick it up. Sometimes we see that someone comes to Krishna consciousness, his friend comes to Krishna consciousness, two friends, maybe even three friends, also come. Or sometimes we see that someone joins and then his brother or sister joins. Or sometimes his mother or father becomes attracted also. So it sometimes happens that the family members also pick it up. Then that's very nice. But sometimes it it goes the other way. They become inimical, or they're just not interested. It's kind of like, we try to explain it, and it goes nowhere. And it just doesn't go very far. And then in that case, of course, if they're just not interested, well, that's unfortunate. We may try to now and then give them another opportunity or be patient. But we understand that he's my family member, she's my family member, but everyone is my family member. Vasudhaiva kutumbakam. Everyone is my family member. Not that I have to, and that my relationship with these people as family member or as friend is circumstantial for the moment. In my previous life, they were somebody else's family members. I was somebody else's family member. I had a different set of friends. Now we've sort of been thrown together by nature's arrangement. So if by that proximity there can be some chance for them to become Krishna conscious, that's very good. But if it doesn't so develop, then all right, I'll go to the next person. I'll try to give others Krishna consciousness.